Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 737. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
This is one of those weeks where, some weeks I'm like, what the hell are we going to talk about? This week, bevy of topics to talk about. Unfortunately, the headliner is Scott Hall has passed away at the age of 63.
Yes, he passed away, officially passed away yesterday, believed in the evening sometime after being taken off life support. He had recently had hip surgery, which somewhere along the way caused a blood clot, which caused three heart attacks over the course of Saturday. And then it's believed that after that third heart attack, he never woke up again.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about blood clots and things happening like that previously. It's always a concern. I have a mother who has had two hips replaced.
Yeah.
Granted, she has not had the drug and or alcohol abuse that one Mr. Hall had.
No.
Because I'm just going to say, in that WWE tribute, they showed that one family picture, and I'm like, oh, guys, you really shouldn't have shown this one. Scott Hall did not look sober. I worded it that way.
Yeah.
And his wife did not look pleased in that photo either. I think because he wasn't sober. But yeah, it's unfortunate that that this happened.
Yeah, no, so many times over the last 20 plus years, you would not be surprised to hear if something had happened to Scott Hall. In that respect, the man may have lived 10, 20 years longer than he should have in some respects, especially after getting under the tutelage of one Diamond Dallas Page. And for the most part of what we know was being at least relatively sober, if not completely sober, for most of the last 10 years. So he was able to get the WWE Hall of Fame twice.
Yeah.
Multiple appearances. He at least got to have something of a rebirth for himself before this tragic end from this weekend. No, I mean, just an incredibly important figure in wrestling history. Maybe one that doesn't necessarily get talked about as much with others, but incredibly important.
I was thinking to myself, like, I probably caught some of his Diamond Stud run. But then I stopped watching wrestling around 91, 92. I do not remember, nor did I end up watching anything from, what is it, about 92 to, would have been 96 when I started living with Jeremy. So there's a 4-year gap in my wrestling fandom there.
There's that Razor Ramon run, there's so much good in that. They really, taking what they had with the Diamond Stud, look, and then mixing it with the fake Cuban accent and the the implied but never explicitly said connections to Miami drug dealers.
Right.
I was reminded of the introductory vignettes for the Razor character during that video last night, and I'm just like, oh my god, he was so cool. It really was a definitely among the best of those types of things they ever did.
Yeah, that
they put him in main events, semi-main events, pretty much from the start.
Yeah, that was one where when they were shown those early ones, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, like how could you not like this? Like, yeah. They had a lot of people doing jobs around that time, but that wasn't really a job. That was a real character.
Yes, that was a very, very well thought out, well put together character. Yeah, just that first year that as a heel, there's some good stuff. He would wrestle Bret Hart, I think, twice. The stuff with the 1-2-3 kid, Sean Waltman, when he made him that night on Raw. But actually, quicker than you may think, he did get turned babyface and really had a hell of a run. Really, really look at his career in the ring. His peak is about 1994. That's the ladder match with Sean. There's actually another match with Sean that was on an episode of Raw later that's really, really good. Everyone should go out of their way. It's a little hard to get to track down because it's not even on YouTube, let alone Peacock. But I think if you find out the Daily Motion, there's the tag match with Razor Ramon and the 1-2-3 kid against Shawn Michaels and Diesel. That is an amazing matchup. It's like those four guys wrestling each other at a point to prove that we'll do this with us. If you play well, we might do this with you, but we'll definitely do this with us. I was thinking earlier, and once again, I know this is a wrestling blind spot. He kind of got stuck in that Intercontinental title position.
Oh, yeah.
1995 is this weird year. Now, a lot of people will call it the worst year ever. I think 94, 93, even a, like maybe half of 92 is probably worse, because they were trying to do new things in 95, and there were some really, really good matches along the way. But what happened was, after WrestleMania that year, Shawn Michaels turns babyface. No. And then for the rest of the year, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Bret Hart, The Undertaker, and Razor Ramon are all baby faces. That heel roster really couldn't compete. That they had back then.
Yeah, that's a pretty stacked lineup there.
So yeah, he kind of got stuck for about a year or so of his career. And if they weren't gonna give him more, pay him better, put him in a better spot, I don't think anyone's going to argue that he didn't make the right decision to leave.
Yeah, of all the people that did leave, like, Hogan needed it for the revitalization that it ended up providing, I think.
Yeah, Hogan needed it. Savage, Vince wanted to just completely retire him, so there was that.
Oh.
He only had the time when WWF's losing money, their wrestlers were on these ridiculous contracts that just stated you're guaranteed basically nothing but an opportunity, and we'll pay you what we think you deserve. What we think you deserve, I should say. And there were some lean times. You're main eventing, and granted, it's not. Business wasn't hot back then, but no. You still think you should be making more than that, and WWE was offering guaranteed money.
Forced the WWF to
offer guaranteed money. So, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash changed the wrestling business in that regard. and then not even getting into how successful the NWO was.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I never blame. I feel like it's been more football related about those players getting guaranteed money. It's just like, what the fuck? You know, like you hear about that system and you're like, how did they get away with this bullshit? You know, like I know that there isn't a union, but it still seems like you'd have enough people to band together to try and prevent that level of ridiculousness.
Right. But also, they went.
Yeah.
And there was the incredible moment when, you know, Scott Hall, you know, walks through the crowd, interrupts, just walks right in the middle of a match that's going on, and just, you know, cuts the promo declaring war. What does this mean? Who's declaring war? Who does he represent? Well, of course, without ever, no one ever calling him Razor or anything of the sort. Then Nash comes in. You know, then Hogan joins them, and they're off to the races. Once again, another the business changed within that summer, and I think that is going to be around the time that you check your head back in.
Yeah, because I don't think I actually saw that moment. Like, I mean, I've seen that moment since then. Like, when you jump into that era, you know, jump in even in late 96 or something, that stuff kind of got replayed quite a bit. So I know I've seen it since then. And yeah, I mean, just like the videos, like the guy could talk.
Oh, absolutely. He was a great talker, yes.
You know, and because Kevin Nash can get windy, but I think I get tired of him. Scott Hall, he kind of knew when to wrap it up a little bit better. Yeah, and like, I don't really remember him being too windy. And he always had that, that swagger. So yeah, I mean, I checked back in this era and it was, obviously, I'm still here doing this.
Yeah.
I'm recording a podcast about it.
We're all still here. You might as well call me 40. 40s, yes. You know, it's just, and we're still watching this crap. We're still recording the show. And yeah, it is very much because that era just grabbed us, you know, like you wouldn't believe. It is,
yeah.
You know, and Scott Hall was such a huge part of that. You know, you don't start. You only think about it until you're faced with the guy being gone. I mean, every year you see, because the social media thing that became a huge thing, and part of it is because these pages can get large engagement off of it. 20 years ago, this happened. 25 years ago, this happened. You know, that kind of thing. It's every year. So it's not even like you're like even your platinum even numbered anniversary. It's just like 23 years ago or 17 years ago. I'm like, that's not even like an anniversary. You really you really celebrate unless you're married to someone. But that's how these things work. So all the time, these moments, the big NWO moments, even dating back rather than that, you know, obviously every year around, we're heading up on, what would it be, 28 years is going to be since the ladder match, the original ladder match with Razor and Shawn.
Because what did they say, that was WrestleMania 10?
WrestleMania 10, so I think that's coming up like next week, because I think that WrestleMania was earlier in March than most.
Oh.
So yeah, we're going to be seeing about that, you know, and Hall was in so many of those moments.
Well, I did find it interesting during that video package when they mentioned that ladder match. This time they said first ladder match in WWE history, I believe, which I found in the world of WWE, that is a stunning admission in my book that a ladder match happened before something in their company.
Yeah, no. Technically, that's not even true, but
Oh.
there was one, and it's on, and it is on video. You can it's easily accessible. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels basically doing a dry run of a match they would have had on pay-per-view had plans not changed. So there was
Oh.
one.
Okay.
And then I think Shawn and Razor did like a handful or so on house shows leading up to it. So,
Oh.
but yes, as far as the ladder match becoming a thing in WWE,
Oh,
which
yeah.
it is to this very day, having more and more people added, more and more ladders added, more and more dangerous stunts added, it was all born from that match. So once again, Scott Hall involved in something that changed the business.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, people always discuss the like Mount Rushmore type of things. And I don't know anyone who would mention Scott Hall in that conversation. Just because it is kind of hard to eclipse some of those other guys that
Yeah, no. As an individual wrestler, Scott Hall is never going to be in that discussion.
Yeah.
If you want to stretch it to different topics, if you want to stretch it to factions, the NWO is definitely going to be on that Mount Rushmore.
Oh,
If
yeah.
you want to talk about the storylines or angles that that were most memorable, the NWO is going to be right up there with Austin McMahon and anything else. The Mega Powers exploding, Hogan, Andre, whatever. I mean,
Yeah.
you're very much we'll make it up there. So yeah, Scott Hall, once again, because he was never world champion. He was always he would, the WWF. He was always the Intercontinental guy during the area where less people watched than, well, maybe there are less people watching now, but up until now. There were less people who were watching. Or less, well, which is definitely true. The least amount of people were actually paying money to, for the product back then.
Oh, yeah.
Even if, they were still were doing decent numbers on TV. Getting people out to the. Go back and watch some of those old shows, those old Raws or Superstars that are on Peacock.
Oh.
They're going to see some really dumpy looking buildings in front of very small crowds.
Oh. Yeah, like it's one of those things where there are these small highlights, it seems like, that happened in that
Yes.
era that I skipped. And this is, and this is obviously one of them. Kind of not. I guess I did always like the Intercontinental run a lot as a child. I was an Ultimate Warrior fan at that point.
Oh, I love the inter. Oh, I love the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
And I love what it represented, but you didn't also didn't want to be the guy who they kept putting the Intercontinental title back on for 2, 3 years straight.
Yeah.
You needed to be brought up, yes.
Yeah, it was a death knell to keep on, even at that point, to keep on getting the Intercontinental Championship. Or at least a glass ceiling, I suppose you
Yeah,
could say.
there was definitely a ceiling to it, but no, but that is probably the era where you're going to find the best Scott Hall, Razor Ramon matches. The WWE run, you're not going to have as many matches because at that point, they're definitely working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that was one of those things. I'm like, how many matches did he really have? Just because, like you said, like even when he was in the NWO, it's not like he was going after the world championship there. It was mostly Hogan, some Nash.
Hall got like one pay-per-view title shot against Sting. The match was fine, but but once again, not particularly memorable. I just some trivia I can pick. I'm capable of picking out. But yeah, I don't know. Hall was definitely in more in tag teams through that period. It's when he started to really have his more serious issues. You know, and it is kind of amazing. This is getting some pretty big mainstream reports being done on it. The video that WWE did last night that got put on YouTube has well over a million views on it. It's the most watched thing of anything that they put out from Raw. And it's for a guy who really had his last prominent match 20 years ago. His last prominent match probably was against Stone Cold at WrestleMania, the same night that Hogan Rock. After that, yes, he was in and out of TNA, but you know it's TNA, and
that was not a particularly good era of TNA, I don't think.
No, I mean it had some moments, but continuing to bring Scott Hall back, you know, it said a lot. Especially when they brought him back that last time, I believe when they brought everyone in, Hall was not at his in his best shape during that run at all.
No, it was it was pretty. I even remember it being pretty rough at that point.
So yes, we'll say that in about almost maybe exactly. Well, which I think it is. We already talked about the 20th anniversary of Hogan Rock is like tomorrow, Thursday when the show comes out. So yeah, that would have been probably would have been the last prominent Scott Hall match, and it was 20 years ago. But people remember. He was definitely someone that people remember.
Yeah. So it's. It's a tough one, unfortunately. It's surprising just with how the circumstances ended up working themselves out.
Yeah, after everything he'd already gone through to go out like that, yeah. It's not even that, yes, he wasn't probably in the best health. Still something that could happen to any of us to a degree.
Like I said, my mother's had both of them done, you know, like... She was not a sports athlete or anything. Like sometimes that, you know, that surgery just needs to be done for genetic reasons. You know, stuff can go wrong, unfortunately. And in this case, it did. Speaking of things going wrong.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, this too. Yeah, this is unfortunate. Yeah.
I mean, we had unfortunate, you know, unfortunate news on unfortunate news. Now, I had forgotten to record SmackDown, so I was not watching when this took place. But I did hop onto Twitter pretty much as soon as it happened. For I don't know what reason exactly. And I saw a clip of Ridge Holland dumping Big E square on his head.
Yeah, that was absolutely brutal. Wow. Just an awful, awful thing to happen. But thankfully, Big E is going to be as all right as anyone could be in that situation. Vertebrae fractures with no spinal cord damage.
No surgery required.
That's really important. Still, I'm sure we'll be some time before we see him in the ring again. But it could have been a lot worse. And as he mentioned, the best sports medicine orthopedic care in the world is in Birmingham, Alabama. With Dr. James Andrews and his office, and I know Andrew doesn't do next, but obviously it's in the same health system, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've made that a real, like you said, for sports athletes, that's a real prominent place to go. It used to be just, I forget, was he the first one to really do ACLs or...
I think something like that, yeah.
Yeah, there was something that he spent, and I don't remember at this point, but he kind of specialized in something to start with, and it's obviously kind of grown into, like you said, like, it's a whole, like, athlete, no matter what your problem is, they'll kind of specialize in that. And so, yeah, he was super fortunate that they happened to be in Birmingham when it happened. So he got immediate treatment for obviously still quite a severe injury.
Yeah, it is quite a severe injury. It looked terrible. I don't know exactly what anything should be done regarding it. Ridge Holland is—he's a WWE rookie, but I know he's not a rookie. But I at the very least, you need to sit down and figure out what the guy can and can't do.
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing. Like it's one of those spots that's just like, okay, I've seen this a bunch. You know, some type of suplex on the outside. Like, this is not the first time I've seen that style of suplex on the outside. It's just like, my only suggestion is maybe don't do that on the outside where there isn't some type of give like there is in the ring.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. But the standard of work rate has gotten to the point where we gotta start doing our big moves on the floor, on the apron, to really make an impact when someone kicks out at 2.5.
they have upped the violence level even within the WWE, even within a PG friendly wrestling company. They've definitely amped up the violence, and yeah, that is part of the problem, is that there's a lot of action that takes place outside. And I don't know if you just limit Ridge Holland necessarily in the future, because I mean, I'd be shocked if I don't see that spot again on WWE TV. I felt like I saw it on Raw or something on Raw.
Yeah, something. Yeah, it was either during the Rollins Owens match, but obviously they're veterans in a main event, so it's more understandable in that situation. But yeah, I think there may have been a couple of one or two times where they really went to the floor with something. I mean, we grew up in an era where if you did anything, if you dropped anyone on the floor, they were being stretched. They were being stretched out in storyline terms. They were out of action. That was how you wrote somebody off for a while. Now you just hit that floor, and sometimes you don't even have to. Sometimes you make your own comeback. Don't even get thrown back in the ring.
Oh man, I always remember. I still remember how annoyed I was with the over the top rope get disqualified.
That's awful.
Shtick. That was one of the things that just always caught my dander, even as a child. It's just like, what the fuck? This is stupid. I'm watching a stupid program and I'm calling stupid things. Anyway, I guess I wasn't terribly surprised that I saw a news report from someone saying that there isn't that much heat on Ridge Holland for the incident.
It doesn't surprise me. No, I mean...
Yeah, it was just, it's one of those ones where it's just like, it's another one of those ones, it's just like, sometimes the shit goes wrong in that ring.
It's absolutely a shit goes wrong situation. But yeah, once again, it can be a warning to once again slow things back down again. Not take risks during the second match on SmackDown.
Attacked or because was it a tag team match setting up another match, basically?
Yeah, it was pretty much what it was going to be. I guess eventually Woods was going to be back, and then they were going to do six-man tags.
Oh.
But, once again, not the most important thing going into WrestleMania or this whole season. So, yeah, you could have toned it down. Yeah, there's a lot of people, like, doing, like, all these strength moves and showing off in that respect, and it's like, you know, these things can happen. You got, like, you know who's doing a bunch of big power man spots and I don't understand it? Boogs. Like, does he need to be doing all that?
It's just
his little experience. He can be dropping someone on their head.
Well, I feel like he has not that I've seen any of it, but I feel like he's had more indie experience than Ridge Holland. And I could be wrong there, but I feel like he had been around previous to the WWE. But yeah, they really play up Boog's strength.
He's just not that physically impressive looking of a guy.
He is.
I'm sure he's strong. But
yeah, like he's really wide. He isn't terribly tall. He does kind of have a power lifter sort of, he reminds me of like Doug Furness back in the day.
Wow, that's a pull. Something like that.
He's not tall, but he's kind of a big, strong guy. It's kind of weird. Like, he's really the star in that group, but he always defers to Shinsuke. That setup is strange altogether. Like, his moveset, just because they are letting him show off the power, is kind of more impressive than Shinsuke's stuff.
Oh my god. Both Boogs and Holland essentially had their first matches.
Oh,
same. In the same month of 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am wrong on that front, then. Okay.
But I do think that... Well, let's see. Okay. Rich Holland has 155 matches. Total in his entire career, that's on record. Now let's go back to Boogs and see where...
Drum roll, please, kids.
Because I'm interested in this now. I don't know if anyone else is, but I am.
Yeah, because I legit did think that I remembered some.
So I guess Rich Holland does have a bit more experience than Boogs, in as far as actually having matches. So, of course. What does it matter? They're still both
fairly early in their career. But yeah, Boogs is a weird power guy, too. They've put the power gimmick on some weird people in the past, and I guess I'm not terribly surprised. I kind of, in the power department, I feel a little bit bad for Commander Aziz.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They have
mean,
picked their giant.
And it's also one of those things I'm like, well, okay, what do you do with Omos after this?
That's a good... If there's still going to be a battle royal, I guess he'll win it. But other than that, I don't really see any place for him on this WrestleMania.
Well, and just not even WrestleMania, like... do they have anyone that's impressive enough size-wise to even try to... not that I was going to expect Commander Aziz is in main events or anything like that, but there's not that many physically impressive guys that size that are going to be able to take him on, and I'm not sure that he's going to main event right now either. Like, from an attraction standpoint, he can main event. But do you really give him the championship?
That will be a question for down the line.
You know, because like as big as like even a Drew McIntyre is, since he's I feel like one of the taller guys. Bobby Lashley, isn't quite as tall as McIntyre. Like he's still gonna be like almost a foot shorter than almost. Like that's gonna be a crazy looking thing if, when and if that ever happens. Like Drew McIntyre's 6'5" and he's gonna look short. But yeah, there's some yeah, I guess there wasn't anything else to say about Big E, so we may as well roll into the any of the other
Well, within the same match segment, I believe we have the third topic that you wanted us to talk about.
Oh, yes. how did I almost forget about that one? And I wasn't surprised that a lot of people are saying, well, Big E's injury was kind of burying a lead here, in and of the fact that for branding reasons, Pete Dunne was introduced as Butch. The sidekick, because you did reference the six-man match with New Day with Xavier Woods coming back. So yeah, Ridge Holland and Sheamus's partner was going to be Butch, aka Pete Dunne. I guess it kind of makes sense if you want to go with this weird Oliver Twist character thing that they have going on.
This Peaky Blinders gimmick or what have you.
You know, they're going back to the steampunk era of thuggery.
Maybe before they gave him the hat, they should have thought, what do we do about his man bun first? It was almost like putting a hat on a hat.
It was a pretty bad look. That
Yeah,
was it was not the right hat for, like you said, for the man bun. He wouldn't have looked right with his hair down.
No.
So they're in a weird situation. I will
No, he
admit
still has.
that.
I don't think he has a lot of hair to begin with, even if it's down. Yeah. Now, these situations get really stupid because he has been on NXT as Pete Dunne for about part of the last 5 years. And they just change his name when he gets up to the main roster. Now, granted, yes, of course, SmackDown is watched by us considerably a little more people than NXT.
And Raw.
and Raw.
Probably
Yes. Yeah.
combined.
Well, not Raw. But yeah, NXT, yeah. They could have. I'm trying to figure out what else they could have called him. Dunne, Dune, something along those lines, just to keep some thread.
I would have been fine with like as much I would have bagged on it if it was just a single name. But Dunn does it works for me. I will, you know, there have been some dumb well, I know what they were trying to reference with Bearcat recently. But I still don't think that it was a good way to go.
No,
But
that
you
definitely
can
wasn't.
talk me into Dunn. If you're still trying to brand it, and if you want to keep a through thread, just go with the last name is kind of more interesting to me. 'Cause yeah, I don't want it just a Pete.
Yeah,
That
don't want to
is
call a guy just
so,
Pete.
so that would have been so uncalled for.
No, that would not have worked. But they're gonna call him Butch. We'll see what they do with all of this. I don't know what the ceiling for this trio is. You know, Sheamus has been around a long time. Kind of coming down from what was considered a really great run for him last year. Yeah, kind of on the downslide from that.
Yeah, trying to mentor Ridge Holland has, while it's produced some fun and wacky promos, I suppose, if you like that kind of thing. Yeah, it's definitely a come down, I would say. You know, he's on TV, but I just don't feel like he's in that prominent of a position to have good matches since he's training up someone.
No. No, he's really not. So, I guess two of the three of them can eventually go for the tag belts. We'll see if that's where this goes. But then, what does the third one do? Even
Sheamus goes after the they're on SmackDown, so they have the U.S. Championship over there.
No, they have the Intercontinental Championship, which is now on Ricochet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. We haven't seen enough Sheamus versus Ricochet matches.
Oh, good God. This year. Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind. I apologize to everyone. If there is someone from the WWE listening, forget that I just said that. So, yeah, it. Yeah, and we'll see what the injury does to just the whole call. You know, like, do you just go to a tag match after this? And Pete Dunne gets bumped, or Butch gets bumped back to NXT? But he really didn't have anything to do in NXT at this point.
No, he was pretty much done. he got the Carmelo match, which he lost, of course. Not totally sure. No, I get wanting to do the Carmelo match, but having Pete Dunne along the way beat Tony D'Angelo in that cage match, that's an interesting decision. If you knew he was leaving like 4-5 weeks later.
That's one of those, if the WWE had foresight sometimes.
Yeah. But no, he was definitely finished in NXT. Is never going to be NXT champion. They're moving on from his generation of guys. And possibly now including Tommaso Ciampa, who pretty much gave a farewell speech on tonight's episode. So, are you taken aback by that news?
No, I am not. I did hear that before we recorded.
Yeah, he's gonna have at least one more match there, but
yeah, it sounds like Tony D'Angelo is gonna make him sleep with the fishes.
Yes, on the way out. That's as good a way as anybody to do it. we are finishing up the legacy Black and Gold people. It looks like so.
Yeah, that's why it's so weird that Roderick Strong, he's still employed, right?
Yeah, he's still doing the Diamond Mine deal.
Oh,
doesn't really have anything to do with himself because the Creed brothers are just going with the tag belts.
I don't feel like I've seen him. I feel like I've seen Ivy Nile and I've seen the Creed brothers, and I haven't really seen a whole lot of Roderick Strong. It's just like, it's got to be awkward for him. It's just like, when does my contract run out? Can you just let me out of this thing so I can get out of here? Suppose it's good enough that he's not asking for his release. But yeah, Tommaso Ciampa looking like he's done. So yeah, Black and Gold brand is really... Is there anyone else straggling around from that?
Oh, well, you got EO, Dakota.
Oh.
Raquel, to a degree, yeah.
Yes.
Raquel, I don't know if this knee injury is a real thing or it's just a storyline. I've seen nothing to confirm or deny whether it's a real injury that's going to keep her out of action. While it appears Cora Jade goes after Mandy Rose, but no, you got a few of the women. A few of the women have. I think they really didn't bring up many of the women heading into the 2.0 rebirth.
Yeah, it's been so awkward to me that like we've talked about how that's like one of their biggest areas of need for the WWE is to even just get more warm bodies for the women's roster up there.
Yeah.
And
Bianca Belair beats Becky Lynch at WrestleMania after the rematch or two. Is she gonna do? Is she gonna be drop again? Is she gonna KOD her from the ceiling or something? So we can so we can change this up a bit. She stand on one leg.
Is she gonna do it again? Yeah, she did it once, guys. Like
this is the third time now.
It's still impressive, but I'm not surprised.
It's incredibly impressive. It's incredibly impressive, yes. But the bottom line, yes. Bianca in particular, even if Becky were to somehow retain some new challengers, would definitely be welcomed.
Yeah, and to me, this is the time. Like, I know that they probably wouldn't get featured on the WrestleMania card, even if they had been called up at this time. But it makes sense to try and build them for that time period after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because you only have... I guess if you have at least one rematch, that's at least probably 4 weeks worth of build-up. I suppose I'd be preferential to more than just 4 weeks of build-up for the next challenger.
Yeah, you could definitely. You don't need to necessarily do it before WrestleMania. The day after the SmackDown after, you could definitely introduce some new people. You can see it with some people NXT. Either Ciampa's leaving, taking a coaching position at the Performance Center, or he's going to go to the main roster. I think LA Knight will unless he beat Ziggler tonight, which I don't know yet. I can see him going up.
There is no reason for him to be in it. If NXT is going to be what the WWE wants it to be right now, there is no reason for LA Knight to be down there.
No, not at all. I mean, he's incredibly popular with that audience and those people.
Yes.
They see him. He might as well be Stone Cold Steve Austin walking down to the ring in that dingy warehouse.
Yes, LA Knight has gotten quite a warm welcome as of late. And
it's something that I think can absolutely translate to bigger arenas on the main roster. Unless they give him something really stupid to work. A new hat or something that looks ridiculous.
Well, thank goodness I would imagine they own the name LA Knight.
Yes, they really still have that.
But wasn't that weren't LA Knight's shoes back in the day?
Something like that. LA Knight or was it LA Cross? LA something. I'm trying to remember what the shoes were.
Oh, they were British Knights. Okay, my bad. I do not remember those okie dokie. Bad reference on my part, rusty memory. They have the rights to that name, so he's not going to have some silly name change when he moves to the main roster. But yeah,
yes.
I mean, they could definitely use him as... it up to U.S. / intercontinental title type of picture guy. And again, like, with as many people as they have, as much TV time as they have to fill, it's always useful to have extra bodies so that these feuds aren't, are stretched out a little bit further apart and don't feel as stale as they do most of the time.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm not expecting anything too crazy out of him on the main roster, but it would be a welcome sight, I think, at this juncture. I guess I'm buzzing through SmackDown here since it's a little bit older. To switch the subject a little bit to the ladies, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair, nothing but promos, I think, from here until WrestleMania, especially at this juncture.
They promos have never been Ronda's strong suit. Charlotte has down. Charlotte's mic game has actually regressed over time. So yeah, they weren't going to make their money on the talking, at least without one extensive physical interaction, and they did that. It was a little weird. It didn't really feel like their segment on their promo segment ended on the level of tension you'd think that they would just start fighting backstage. Obviously trying to do the callback to the original angle involving a car and the brawl with Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte, where Charlotte just absolutely rocked Ronda's world with a knee. And one of the...
yeah, that was fun.
So,
and you can't be expecting that every time.
No. Sure, so they had their brawl backstage. Charlotte was able to get the advantage on Ronda. All fine and good. Nothing too great or awful about it.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. It's still interesting that Naomi and Sasha are a team. And they got a nice little win over Natalya and Shayna this week. And there's not much else to say about that one. Boy, yeah, Ricochet was the main event on SmackDown.
Yes, he was.
My, how things change.
Yeah, things are changing. good match. Got a hand to him. But yeah, it's definitely something different. This SmackDown roster, it's not good.
When Roman Reigns isn't there to fill in the main event segment, it gets weird.
Yeah, it definitely does get weird, and yeah, you see why they brought Ronda back and put her on SmackDown, make their Fox overlords happy. But that's just one extra segment on the show. And then, as you said, when Roman's not there, the middle of the show, the body of the show, is just really good at this point.
Yeah, it has been super easy to just watch Rampage on Fridays.
Yeah.
Not that there's much going on with Rampage, but it's kind of like empty calories.
Yeah, you don't expect Rampage to be an A show. You can just watch it.
Yep.
For what matches they put on it, it goes quick. Yeah. SmackDown is meant to be an A show, the co-A show or the A show. They've got the top star in all of wrestling on the show. They've got the biggest attraction in wrestling regularly now. semi-regularly appearing on the show in Brock. They put Ronda on the show. Charlotte's always there. But there's just that mid-card is just rough. The non-existent mid-card. That's the problem.
Yes.
The mid-card doesn't exist.
It, as much as at one point I probably would have been to the moon with Ricochet being in the main event of SmackDown, right now it still just seems rushed and forced at this point that all of a sudden he's number two. Like, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's earned it or like, yeah. I mean, I know the guy's put in more than enough time. He's had some trash promos.
Yeah.
But he certainly still delivers in the ring. I mean, that guy still is pretty wild and maybe not as untouchable in the ring as he used to be because people are building off of the craziness that he started pulling. But man, he is still super smooth and does a lot of stuff near flawlessly. Yeah, it's SmackDown's a weird place to be currently. Like you said, for an A show. And I guess that's maybe why I don't mind just tuning in for Rampage. Like, I know it is what it is. And plus, it's an hour. Hours are easy to put in. So, it's not always easy to put in multiple hours. like on Raw. And I can't believe I watched the vast majority of this week's Raw live. And yeah, I guess it's still been better than SmackDown.
Yeah, Raw has gotten better than SmackDown because in the draft at the back in the fall, they took a lot of SmackDown's talent that they had then. So Raw has the mid-card.
Yeah.
And of course, for 3 hours, they need it.
Yes, they do. That's a lot of time. And
it's still not like Raw is the most enjoyable show on the planet to sit through, especially at 3 hours.
No, it was a little rough to watch like 2:45 basically, in real time this week. The Scott Hall stuff made it worth it because that video package still was pretty awesome.
It was definitely.
And I guess the biggest point of interest on Raw to me was the Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens stuff.
Yeah.
But my God,
did it add up to a whole bunch of nothing by the end of the show.
Yeah, like, I'm like, okay, this is the part where Cody Rhodes comes out.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that.
And then the show ended. And I'm like, okay, what? They still have 3 weeks next week, correct? Or just two? It feels like at this point they're definitely building to something for Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole, I got no means to get on WrestleMania. Oh my God, the sky is falling has become a trope over the years. And I'm joining a number of people in stating that I'm absolutely tired of it. It's really silly.
Yeah, especially since nearly everyone is on the WrestleMania card in one form or another every year.
Yeah, they're continuing to add more matches.
And there's always some type of battle royal type of situation going on. Yep. In a worst case scenario, Seth Rollins would be in the battle royal. Yeah. I do not ever foresee that happening.
No, no, no. I assume they've got to have something. You know, the fortuitous of Cody was, you know, oh, they're in Jacksonville, so they want to stick it in Tony Khan's face, rub it in his face. And that's not really even their style. I don't think they care that much.
No.
Jacksonville's not a city they care that much about. I'm just being brutally honest.
Yeah, well, it's not like it's one of the... even for Florida, it's not one of the major cities, you know what I mean?
No.
It's kind of like running... as much as I was giving the WWE a hard time for not saying Toledo on TV, Raw rarely emanates from there, and B, the other location that they do admit to, Dayton, they don't get close to the amount of shows that Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati do.
Right.
You know, and Jacksonville
have so many big cities. Like, why? We don't need to actually go.
Oh, why Ohio has so many big cities? There's a reason that the state's like, I know it's top 10, I think, population wise. Yeah, in Jackson, I guess I was just trying to draw that Florida to me, it kind of has the same thing. Like Miami, Orlando, is it just Miami and Orlando?
Orlando, Tampa.
Oh, Tampa. Yeah. I knew. Tampa, I felt like I was forgetting one.
What else? What else would be considered a big ish?
Because I guess that would be it, really.
Tallahassee? But Tallahassee has less of a ring to it than Jacksonville does.
Yeah, I guess Jacksonville would be number four at this point, I suppose. I guess I feel like just because Orlando, it's not really close to Jacksonville, but I just, obviously, because the performance center's there, I feel like they run Orlando more than Jacksonville.
Yeah, but next week's Raw is in Chicago, so a city that they like to put big shows in, a city they like to have big things happen in. Well, Rosemont, of course, but still.
We'll have CM Punk come out for the hold on. you just said they're in Chicago, and I just immediately.
Yeah.
clearly, that's not happening. But there's still time. But I get to introduce Cody if that's the route that they're going. But I guess to me, it's just like, I feel like you're pulling the trigger too late at this point.
Probably about... They could have used another week or so, but there's not really much of a story if you do run with Cody versus Seth either.
That is a good point. Because... Yeah, I don't know. Does he just... I suppose he can say he wants to have a WrestleMania moment with someone and do an open challenge and have Cody Rhodes answer it. I guess I really did think that Seth Rollins was going to come up with a better idea than stealing Kevin Owens' segment. Like, for some good comedy.
Yeah, there were some funny parts to it, but in the end, you know, that's not going to happen, and it made their match anticlimactic, and they've had good matches, and this was a pretty good match itself. And you put Seth in a situation where he had to lose, and he lost clean, which Seth doesn't lose clean very often, so that was interesting.
Yeah, that was kind of wild, because I don't think Kevin Owens is going to boast to Steve Austin that he recently beat Seth Rollins. I mean, he probably will, but...
He might as well.
it seems kind of weird.
You know, Owens needs to be hitting a lot of people with stunners over the next couple of weeks, so... If that part's fine.
Yeah, that part clearly made sense. which is why I was just like, as soon as, I guess I just thought that Seth was gonna challenge Cody Rhodes, and that was gonna be the end of it. Honestly, like when Kevin, because what did he use the word da did Kevin Owens use the word dashing in his promo or something like that? Like, I felt like he used one of those cutesy terms that could be applied to Cody Rhodes in their backstage segment.
I know Graves did at the end, talking about how Seth's WrestleMania hopes have been dashed and
Oh.
something else in there, like this is
Okay.
a nightmare for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, like I guess it seems like there have been maybe enough breadcrumbs out there that it still seems like it's in the work. Like I said, to me, I guess I feel like the timing seems a little bit weird, but I do understand your point, and maybe that's what they hold, is that there isn't that much of a story there if it's Cody versus Seth. Like, it can be a good to great match, but there isn't a lot of story.
Right.
'Cause yeah, no title, no real nothing involved with that one. What else happened on? I mean, we got our second week at Edge having, well, Edge had a promo, and then AJ Styles got a to tweet his reply.
Yeah, and boy, did that tweet sound like something AJ Styles would say. Yeah, I don't know. I think Edge just went to the Chris Jericho well of feeling the need to reinvent himself, and I'm gonna need maybe just some more to really sink my teeth into what this character is. No. To go to the length of getting rid of a nearly 20-year entrance theme and a legacy entrance theme. But the new song sounds pretty good. I mean,
Oh,
it's
one of
fine.
the few new WWE songs to sound good.
Well, that's because he just, once again, he licensed it from really the same. I think it's Alter, but it's the same band.
Yeah.
The brooding Edge walking to the ring solemnly to this low tempo music and just talking the way he's talking. I don't know if I'm t necessarily buying all of it. It feels like he's overthinking, or someone involved is overthinking this when this needs to
Yeah,
be.
that's what I feel too. Like, it's one of those things is I'm just like, if he just would have thrown out a challenge and AJ Styles answered it, they could have done enough talking without him flipping. And it just seems so close to him and Beth Phoenix having this feel good tag team moment. And he freaks out just after that. It's like the timing
No,
doesn't feel good to me.
you're right. It doesn't feel earned. It doesn't feel like Edge has maybe if after he was stacked and pinned by Roman Reigns
He snapped.
to have that kind of a mental break would have been understandable. But he won the feud with Seth. He won the feud with Miz. AJ Styles accepted his challenge. I wasn't against Edge going heel for this match with AJ or continuing to be heel. It's just this now dark, brooding character who says a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I thought we were past this. We got rid of Bray Wyatt. We got rid of Killer Cross or Karrion Cross.
Got rid of Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss is doing whatever. That's probably a story in its own right. It's just and now he's got to be drone on and talking this low tempo voice, say all this spooky stuff, and all use all the big words, and
Yep.
it's feels like something we've seen before.
He really puts his acting heart into it.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much acting. It's too much. Once again, it's what you said. It's just someone overthought what this needed to be, and then he's gonna have to figure out where else he can go with it. So I guess Edge is a heel, and the babyface's on the Raw roster. You know, it's probably a push either way if he continued babyface wrestling heels or went heel and wrestling babyfaces for the matches he can have for the rest of this run. Although interestingly, I believe he signed a 3-year contract in early 2020. That is going to come due in early 2023.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be interesting. Like, because of the injury, it's kind of stunted something of the momentum of him coming back. And
well, the injury and a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Then he was able to get a lot of it when he came back for the actual one-on-one match with Roman Reigns. You know, he lost it. The feud with Seth was good stuff. The stuff with Miz was fine.
Yeah.
Him and AJ Styles are really going to be expected to, in some ways, carry the work rate of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's the best looking match on paper, if you got to be really honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, wrestling-wise, it probably is, because Roman and Brock's going to be fun, but I don't expect that to be a clinic. Maybe Charlotte and Ronda can be really good in the ring.
It could be really good if Ronda can, you know, turn it on like she did in the big matches she had in the past, and Charlotte gets out of her own way. Oh, Becky and Bianca might be the second best looking match on paper, if you're being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those three definitely jump out at me currently. As far as match quality goes. Because, I mean, we mentioned him. Yeah, like, I don't think almost really isn't in line for a singles match. And not that he would have a banger of a match either. Like, I'm not going to have a work rate with him. Yeah, because I'm trying to think. The tag team matches seem like they... most of them are multi-person matches. It's Street Profits and RK-Bro currently. But Alpha Academy.
Alpha Academy is probably getting added.
Yeah.
At the very least. And then.
Is it Usos and.
Nakamura and Boogs.
And Boogs.
Looks like that's going to stay 2-on-2. There's there's really not anyone else to put in that.
okay, yeah. But that's not going to be. As much as it should be an enjoyable match, I'm not going to. Like, if we're talking work rate, you know. Matches there, like, it should be fun, but I don't have high expectations for that. I'm trying to think of what other matches that are set up, because we mentioned the ladies. It's title unification, so that's only one match.
Yeah, there's
Ricochet doesn't have an opponent.
There's literally three celebrity matches on this card.
Three celebrity matches.
Plus, you know, Stone Cold and Kevin Owens isn't technically a match, but it's gonna be a long segment. It's gonna be, you know, its own 15-20 minute segment. I'm sure.
I would imagine.
So it'll be the length of a match. So yeah, no.
Circles is back. Yeah, Edge and AJ Styles in the two ladies championship matches at the top of the work rate card.
And then if it gets added, I would probably say Seth and Cody would go would hit about fourth or so.
Yeah, unless
something else gets added that I'm thinking about that we're not thinking about.
Yeah. So that's. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, I think that about does it for Raw. Unless there's something else that stands out for you.
No, I think we're well and good.
Okay, and I don't think. Sorry, AEW Rampage, you're getting the short shrift this week. Bell Time beer suggestion on my end. A beer that, because I have a beer fridge, I put in there, but I've had a little while here. Hoofhearted Brewing, $60 nachos, double IPA, 8% IBU or 8% alcohol. It does not give me an IBU, but it's quite tasty and quite a bit of dankness in this double IPA. If you happen to find Hoofhearted within a deliverable area, I would highly suggest it. I've never actually gone up to their main facility in Marengo, Ohio, which is about 30 minutes north of where I live. But I plan on doing that sometime soon, and I'm looking forward to it. They are definitely one of the better brewers here in the city of Columbus. So that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show from @DeFrango11. That is @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.